Hello and welcome to One on One. Now, I didn't need to go too far to find my guest today. I just walked into the office this morning and asked her if she'd like to appear on the programme. She's someone who's been working at Radio Prague a bit longer than me, someone who's seen not a few changes at the station. She is my colleague in the English section, Olga Santová. Olga, thank you very much for sparing a bit of time to come and speak to me today.
I actually enjoy being the one who doesn't ask the questions, but who just simply answers yours.
It's easier, isn't it? Now, before you say Radio Prague is so desperate for guests, they're interviewing each other, there is a very good reason why I wanted to invite Olga to talk to me today. Because at the end of this year, Olga is retiring as a full-time member of staff, although I must stress straight away, she won't really be going anywhere because she'll be answering all your letters and mails in mailbox and doing a few more things on the side. Just make that very clear. Now, it is, I guess, a bit ironic for you, Olga, because the precursor to One on One was a program called I'd Like You to Meet, which was actually your own interview show.
It was my interview show. Not only that, it was my idea, and I thought it was quite a good idea. So did everybody else at that time. The idea being that you'd show everyday life in this country on the basis of everyday people. At that time, I stressed that I would not interview any VIPs. I would not talk to any politicians, famous actors, etc. and so on. I'd talk to ordinary people.
Ordinary regular Joes.
Yes.
Now, you were born, let's go back to the beginning, you were born in Bratislava, the capital of Slovakia. Was it a happy, contented childhood?
It was a very complicated childhood because I was five actually, when the regime changed and when Czechoslovakia fell apart, and my father had been politically active and we had to flee because of the Nazi occupation. And what there was of it, that part of his childhood, was very, very happy, but very, very short-lived.
A childhood disrupted by the Second World War. You spent the war in New York.
In New York City. That's where my English comes from.
Well, exactly. You have a strong, pronounced American accent even to this day.
Some people say I have a mid-Atlantic accent because I did spend a couple of years in Britain. So it isn't clean New York, but there's a bit of New York, Manhattan, East Side in it. I've lived in the East Side, where the Czechoslovak community was very strong in those days. I went to school there, to junior high, public school first, and then to junior high school before we came back in 1946.
When did the love affair with radio first begin, do you think?
Oh, very, very early. It started with a love affair with the journalism. I was already writing in New York for various children's magazines and so on. Radio, actually, that came as a coincidence, because when we did come back in 1946, my father was again very active on the political scene and got himself arrested in 1951. So after that, there was no chance of me studying at university. My studies had to be interrupted, and no idea of my getting into any media, newspaper or radio. I was working in something called a Pioneer House. It was a kind of after-school center for children. And Jan Dvořák from the American section came there to do an interview. And he discovered that there was somebody there who spoke very good English. So he introduced me to the staff, and it took a terrible long time before I could start working in radio because of my father's political problems. Anyway, finally I did come here. That was in 1961. And I worked here with 4 years off when we were in Africa. My husband was a correspondent of a Czech news agency. We were in Africa 4 years. And when I came back, 1968 and 1969 came around, and I had to leave again.
Right, another revolution in Czechoslovak history. So you were working in the American section of Radio Prague in 1968, the time of the Prague Spring, where there was more relaxation of official control of the media. What's your single most powerful recollection of those days when everything suddenly seemed to be looking up for socialist Czechoslovakia?
The abolition of censorship all of a sudden we did not have to show every bit of every word we were going to put into the program to a censor who didn't speak English in the first place. We just had to tell him what was on that paper,
so
which he had
that,
to stamp.
You took the script to him and said,
every
this is
word, yes. We couldn't have talked like we're doing now. We would have had to script it. The head of the section had to sign, and with that signature, you took that script to the censors department. He didn't speak a word of English, nor French, nor anything else. So we all went there, and he said, what's in there? So we more or less told him, and he said, you sure there's nothing else? I said, no. So he put a stamp on that, and we came to the studio and read it.
Did you ever slip something in there which shouldn't have been in, which you knew he wouldn't understand?
No, because it would have been suicide. We were listened to by people who did understand the various languages, and we didn't slip in anything. We didn't talk about a number of things. We kept as much propaganda, outright propaganda, out of the program as we possibly could, and I think we were pretty successful in that. But we certainly did not put any anti-regime things outright, no. Because it was the easiest way of getting not only thrown out of the radio, but of being arrested.
Well, of course, that reform movement was crushed in August 68.
That is, I was going to say that's my favorite memory.
It's your favorite memory of
Not the occupation, but the broadcasting that followed. A group of us managed, thanks to the technicians who helped us, and wouldn't have been possible without them, managed to concentrate in one of the radio buildings outside this main building, and for practically 2 weeks we did broadcast from there the true story of what was going on. So that, I think, was probably the most glorious part of Radio Prague, of my career on it, certainly.
So you came back after the collapse of communism. You came back in 1990. Was that a very emotional return for you?
Yes. Yes, it was very emotional. Many years had gone by. Actually, it came at a time when, under ordinary circumstances, I would have thought of retiring. And, of course, during all those years, I couldn't do anything that was connected with English. Mm. I sold fruit and vegetables, I knitted sweaters, and so on and so forth. So I was going to retire the first day I possibly could. And instead, I came back to radio, and I felt I had to make up for all those years, and I've been doing my best to do so.
Well, you certainly have. A lot of people I've spoken to have spoken of this great frustration and anger at spending several decades out in the cold, not being able to do the job they wanted, and they do seem very bitter. You've never really seemed to me a bitter person, that you were denied the job you wanted for 15 years.
No, I wouldn't say I was bitter. You know, partially one questions oneself, if you're really honest to yourself, how much was all of this my own fault? Those political events didn't just fall upon us from up above. We made many mistakes ourselves, we made many errors on and around the February 1948 events. I'm not saying that I had any major role in them, and the fact is that my father was arrested in 1951, which shows that we weren't exactly pro-regime. But if you want to be honest, you have to start wondering how much we caused ourselves.
If I can ask you just one last question, what's it like working with, how can I put this delicately, younger and, let's say, less experienced colleagues?
I do not mind at all. You know, it's nice to be able to help people. And if it's somebody who's really interested and who you see is learning and is doing a good job, then I can't think of a greater joy. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? I'm very righteous, but I really do feel that. I've enjoyed helping young people.
A fine note on which to end. Olga Santovar, thank you very much.
Thank you.